Hey guys, welcome to the E-commerce Paradise podcast. Today I have a special guest on the show. He's been doing Kindle publishing for quite some time now, very successfully, and he's even teaching people how to do it. So I wanted to pick his brain a bit and learn more about this awesome business model that's very passive and very, very cool. Welcome to the show, Emeka Osai.
Trevor, hey man, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
No problem. Emeka is the founder of myselfpublishingblueprint.com. It's a website where you can learn how to build a Kindle publishing business. So it's really exciting to have you on. Emeka, can I ask you first, though, about your backstory, maybe like how you came into Kindle publishing in the first place, this kind of thing?
Yeah, man. So I'm from Canada, and my wife's from Mexico, Monterey. And when we had our first child, she wanted to be closer to her family. So she wanted to move down to Mexico. So, that was a non-discussion. And so we moved. And at the time, I was just kind of in between jobs, doing like, helping out a family friend with her business. But it wasn't like I wasn't doing anything I enjoyed. And, being down in Mexico, I knew one thing. I wasn't about to start working for Bezos. And so I had to figure out how to make some money. And so, it's funny, it was a Gary Vaynerchuk video, and, one of his videos just hit me, and I looked some stuff up online, and it was selling, taking something from eBay and reselling it on Amazon for a higher price. I'm like, oh, wait, what? And like found three products right away. And I'm like, I would have made $80 if I did it. I'm like, oh, wow, this whole online thing, there's people making money with this. And that's how it started. And then one thing led to another. And I found self-publishing. And that was, the first book was published back in August of 2016. The book sucked. But I kept going, published a couple more, and eventually I figured things out. And, I replaced my job, replaced my wife's job. And we were quote-unquote living the dream. But it's turned into a much, much bigger thing than I could have ever imagined.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's so cool how this kind of stuff really does work. What kind of drew you into Kindle publishing in the first place? What was the appeal there?
Well, I started looking at Amazon FBA and dropshipping. And for the research I was doing, there was just more capital that I needed. And at the time, we had no money. Like, we were broke. Like, one of the things moving to Mexico is because you didn't need a ton of money. And so we were saving money, but it was going to take so long. And then we had like $350 saved. And then I found out publishing is like, oh man, I can use it. I can start right now. And so that's what attracted me to publishing. It was just the low barrier of entry in terms of startup costs.
Yeah, I totally understand that. I mean, somebody can just go and write their own book, right? And publishing itself is free, and they have to make a book cover and then write a sales page and boom, right? You pretty much can put a book online.
I don't even write the books. I just pay a ghostwriting company to write the books because I'm not creative. I'm not an author by any means. Sure. And I pay somebody else like $10 to design a cover for me. So, and then yes, publishing is free. You just put it up on Amazon, good to go.
Yeah, it's amazing. I just finished reading the book, The Everything Store, about mm-hmm. Amazon and the whole yeah. startup of that. And it's just incredible how they took the self-publishing and the Kindle and they just completely revolutionized the publishing industry. I think before Amazon and self-publishing existed, you had to go through this arduous process of getting publishers to do all the work and stuff totally. Like that, promote. It's crazy, right?
I was reading a stat yesterday or the other day, and it was something like, oh, what was it? I might be wrong with the numbers, but it was something ridiculous. Like 70% of all like royalties paid out on Amazon for their books are just self-published authors now. And it's just, I use Amazon as a platform, as a tool. I use it to make money, right? Like, I have a couple brands on Amazon that I'm super passionate about, and they've kind of built into like a Shopify store and stuff like that. But the majority of my books, like, I don't care about them, right? They're good quality, but I just, whatever. But for authors especially, it's like they've changed the game because now authors can get their word out. And more importantly, they can actually get paid without having to go through like a big publishing house now because they can do it themselves.
Yes. Yeah, I remember, what was the story of the 4-hour work week? I think Tim Ferriss said he went through like 30 different publishing houses and got refused on all these publishing houses. And then finally the one that they did, they didn't like the title originally that he had set up. So they had him change it, and that's how they came up with that title.
Yep. Yeah. Robin Sharma is another one, right? Like, he got rejected by everybody. So he just self-published the book himself. And now, you know, now he's like a world-renowned author and speaker.
Right. So when you first got started with Kindle publishing, did you know much about it, or how did you go about like figuring things out and just figuring out like how to publish and stuff like that?
YouTube, man. YouTube. Yeah, I just devoured the YouTube videos. Eventually I bought a course, but it was just learning everything off YouTube, going on webinars, going on I'm somebody, if I'm going to learn about something, I'm going to learn about it. Right. So I just, you know, became obsessed with it. And it was all YouTube. That's where it all really started. But then I took a course, and that really kind of sped up the results.
That's great. And you have a YouTube channel now as well, correct?
Yes, I do.
So if you guys want to learn more about Kindle publishing, you can check them out. My Self-Publishing Blueprint, or type in Emeko Sai into YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I've seen it. Lots of great videos there. And it's really cool, I think, that YouTube exists, of course, because before there was a platform like that, it was kind of difficult to learn stuff. I remember back when I was a kid, you had to go into like encyclopedias and devour all sorts of books and stuff like that. Whereas YouTube videos, like, you just have direct access to some of the brightest, smartest mentors out there. And if you just sit down and watch these videos, you can learn as much as anybody else knows. It's pretty impressive.
Easy. Bro, man, this is a whole discussion we talked about for days. You know, it's people, there is zero excuse in this world to be broke anymore. Like, the only excuse you have to be broke is if you live in somewhere like Tanzania or like, you know, maybe somewhere up in Siberia where they don't got internet. But holy, if you listen to this right now and you broke, that's on you.
Yeah.
Wake up.
I agree 100%, man. Like, you can tune into any of this content for free. Like, it doesn't cost much money. I mean, it seems like everybody's got a smartphone now. They are not that expensive. Most people have laptop computers. It still surprises me, though. Like, I was talking to my friend the other day, and I was like, yo, man, you know, you could start selling products online. It's not that hard, and it's very low cost startup. He's like, you know, I got to get a laptop. I was thinking to myself,
go to a laptop. Right? Or go to a library.
I mean, he works a job, and like, he makes money every month, and everybody makes money every month from a job. They have disposable income. It's like,
They just don't make it a priority, right? They don't want to change. They're happy and they're content with their life. That's how the majority of people live.
Yep.
And, you know, hey, power to them.
Yeah, true. Yep. And it's just amazing because, like, I remember when I first got started with entrepreneurship, I was devouring YouTube videos also, looking up, you know, SEO, keyword research, you know, what is, like, drop shipping, you know, how does it work and stuff like that. And I first got into Kindle publishing, I think, around 2015 or something, and I made and I had a ghostwriter write a book for me, and it was about car camping or something like that. It was just something like, I was actually interested. I tried to write it, and then I just was failing, so I was like, just write a book for me and I'll go through and try to like update it or something. And I did, and I got the cover and I posted it, and I was like, yeah, put up 99¢. It's kind of a short book, and it's still making sales today. Like, ever so often I log in, like, I get like $5 or $10 a month or something, like, you know what I mean? It's ridiculously
right.
But it works. And I think that's the most amazing thing is that you don't understand, some people don't understand is that a ton of people pay for information online. Like, it's just, you know, like, if information is available in an organized format, people are willing to pay for it. And taking advantage of that need and that open market of Amazon and people knowing that Kindle exists and that books cost money, like, they're willing to pay for it. Like, just go out and create some books, you know, or have books written for you.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. I love that it exists, and it's a great platform to use. So what are your suggestions for getting first people just getting into Kindle publishing that haven't really done it yet, that don't really know the process of it? Where does somebody start with this whole process?
my YouTube channel. Okay.
yep.
But essentially, basically what we're doing is we go to Amazon and we just find, okay, what are people spending money on in terms of books right now? Like, what are the top, like, what are some of the best-selling books? And we're not looking for bestseller books like The 4-Hour Workweek, like, you know, The 5 a.m. Club. We're not looking for those type of bestseller books by authority figures. We're looking, like, there's millions of books. So, you know, even maybe bestseller is not even like the right term. It just has to be selling well enough, right? And so we find those books and then we do a bit of market research, super easy. And then we hire a company, ghostwriter, to write the book for us based around that topic, based around what the negative reviews are saying, what the positive reviews are saying. Yeah. And then we pay a cover designer like $5-$10 to create a cover for us. And then we publish it up on Amazon. And that's the process. And now your goal is to outrank or outsell the book that you are, you know, are trying to go after, right? And that's essentially what it is. And the higher quality of book, the more sales you're going to get, then the more people are going to want to come back and buy your next book, right? And so on. And that's essentially what we're doing. And the great thing about this is, you know, I got a video that's going to be coming out on the channel in the next couple of days that I technically, Emeka hasn't actually published a book in almost a year. I have a manager who runs my entire publishing business. He's over in Bangladesh and he does all of it for me. And I just meet with him once a week. So it's an extremely passive business because it's simple that you can have somebody else run it for you. And you just sit back and collect the checks, make the strategic decisions and stuff like that. But that's like down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. But that makes perfect sense too, because obviously you can't really scale a business, any business without having a team of people running it for you.
And thank you. Yes. 100%. Right. Like why replace your job with another? Yeah. Like if you're doing it yourself, you're just working another job.
Just going to get burnt out. Just like you're
not to work the job. Let's train people to do it for you so you can focus on the bigger picture things.
100%. And so those big picture things, you know, we're talking doing more research. You know, what are some of those big picture things that you do?
Like for me, it's like, yeah, it's okay. Figuring out. So what strategies do I want to focus on? Do I want to increase my audiobook royalties? You know, how are paperback sales going? How are ebook sales going? Which ones do we need to focus on? Which niches should we get into? Which brands do we want to build? Like, you know, should we try going off Amazon? Should we, you know, so it's just analyzing the business in a different way that if I'm inside running the business, I can't do it. Sure. Right. So those are kind of the bigger picture type of things. It's just more advanced business strategies.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And as far as branding goes, are we talking like making a whole series of books on a certain topic in a niche, or what are you talking about?
Totally. Like you can create a whole series of books. You know, I've gone into like, I got a Shopify store. Some of my students have created Shopify stores that they sell related products to their books, you know, to their customers. You can take your books and funnel, you know, collect the emails from them and funnel affiliate products to them and do, you know, affiliate marketing. One of my students in December did $90,000 in revenue. Oh. In revenue, not profit, but $90,000 in revenue from book sales and affiliate products that he was promoting through his books. Right. And like, so there's a lot of different things you can do with it. It's not just selling the book.
Yeah. I think you're hitting on a really important topic here though. And that is that a book is not just like, you don't stop with the book, right? Like you build out a whole funnel through the book. The book is almost like a traffic source for an offer for something else.
Yeah. And that's where people like yourself and like me would think of it. And don't get me wrong. You can make like $10,000 to $15,000 a month on only selling books and not collecting a single email or not doing any of that. But if you want to really build a bigger business more long-term and all of that, well, then there's some additional things that you can do, but just the front end book sales, there's still a ton of money to be made with just doing that alone.
Right. And I feel like, honestly, like Kindle publishing is, can be used for more, than its own separate business. In fact, I think like for people doing high ticket dropshipping or any kind of dropshipping for that matter, you can, if you're focusing on a specific niche, you could use, Kindle publishing is a great source of traffic. You can make like a guide on that niche and then publish it to Kindle for free or for a very low cost. And somebody might buy it because they're interested. They're on Kindle. They know that things cost money on there. They're willing to spend money on it. And then drive traffic to your dropship store. You know, that kind of thing works too.
I did an interview with a guy, Miles Beckler. Uh-huh. And do you know Miles?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Good buddies. With yeah. Good guy.
Sweet. He said that his free books on Amazon are the best leads he gets for his business. The free books on Amazon that he puts. And he's, you know, Miles, he's down to the data, right? So yeah. He's done all the tests. But he's like, yeah, Amazon provides the best traffic source for our business in terms of leads.
That's great.
So there's so much you can do with it. It's so much bigger than just selling books.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and I think that matters a lot to any business to understand the data, right? And to really understand like who are your best customers, who are the people who are willing to spend the most money and are going to be the best experience for your business, and vice versa, who are you willing to serve the best? And then what's that best traffic source? And Kindle is really good for many different business models because everything is really grounded in foundation of information, I think.
Correct. And like, I've got I did a video a little while ago called Kindle Publishing is Dead, because it really is dead. But when you started 2015, it was Kindle Publishing because you were publishing Kindle eBooks and you can make a ton of money with that. And you still can, but it's more self-publishing now because it's paperbacks are the 90% of the royalties you get. Audiobook sales are just absolutely exploding right now. Ebook sales for some niches still make decent coin, but like, at the end of the month, I'll have $1,000 from ebook sales and like 8,000 from paperback and 6 from audiobook.
Incredible. Okay. Well, that's right, great
to kind of give you
really, really good to solidify.
Right. Yeah. So it's self-publishing. It's not, we're not getting rich off a $2.99 ebook, right? Some of my students' books are $50.
Okay.
Right. Wow. Like, you know, yeah, well, you know, $50 for a book, you're selling like, you know, $500,000. Yeah, products exactly. And dropship, but you know, 50, so it's not a $2 book. They're like up to $50 books or more. So it's that's why we, you know, I use the term now, it's self-publishing. It's not just sure. Kindle publishing, if that makes sense.
To makes total sense to me. And as far as paperback goes, I think it just has this sort of intrinsic value to it. And you have a book, you know, in your library, you can put on the shelf and take down and make notes in and stuff like that. So it makes sense that people love the physical book. I think, I think that's going to become, that's going to remain like sort of,
I don't think physical books will ever go away.
Yeah. Right.
Me neither. Like,
even though
I hate ebooks.
It's not the same, right?
No, I like the, you know, it's like, I like the idea of a Kindle e-reader or whatever they're called. You know, I like the convenience idea of it. And I'm like, but I just, you know, like, you can't see the video, but like, I like the physical flipping the pages, hearing the pages,
the smell right? of it. Right?
I like that. You can't get that on that. Freaking tablet.
You just can't. Yeah. And the tablet even kind of wears your eyes out. And there's always some kind of distractions going on with your, like I have it on my iPhone, the Kindle app, and I can bounce out of that into anything. So it makes distractions way too easy to happen. Mm-hmm. Whereas with a book, like it's physical, it's right there in front of you. In fact, you kind of feel smarter reading an actual physical book, right?
Yeah. But you know, I was watching a video of somebody and they were talking about the latest Kindle thing and how you can like highlight stuff. And now it has like 4G built into it. So you can highlight and then you can save it to a cloud. So he saves it to his team. And so they can read the cliff notes. I'm like, oh shit, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. That's the next level stuff right there.
Right. So I was like, oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe there's something here, but
there should be something like a highlighter that actually scans what you highlight or something and uploads it, right? I
mean, and uploads. There you go.
I need to invent that. It's probably out there already.
Now you're talking.
So. I think I saw something about that a while ago. Yeah. So and then of course audiobooks, which is just like a podcast, but a little bit slower, right? And then you know, on one topic the whole time, where podcasts are usually all over the place. You know, I can understand why that's extremely popular and profitable as well. And can you talk
about the fastest growing way of taking in content right now is audio.
Besides YouTube, you know, and you can listen to audio anywhere you're going that you can't watch a YouTube video, like in your car, while you're running, doing any like grocery shopping, stuff like that. So what does it take for somebody to take a piece of information and publish it on multiple platforms? I know the CreateSpace is for print-on-demand books, and the...
CreateSpace is dead. Amazon killed it, and it's all on KDP now.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Okay. So it's all the ebook and paperback. It's, yeah. Right. So there's still Audible, which will be up for the... But Amazon will kill that too, and it'll all be on one platform eventually. But so there's KDP that does ebooks and paperback, and then ACX, which does audiobooks.
Got it. So what Amazon did was they bought those companies, they absorbed them, and they eventually...
They were all Amazon-owned. They're all Amazon-owned. They just had three different brands,
yeah, or whatever. Yeah, I got you. Makes sense. So they're kind of going in the direction of having all under the KDP.
Yeah.
Eventually. And for ACX, what does that take for somebody to publish an audiobook? I guess you probably either have to read your book or hire somebody to read it for you.
Once again, it's all about outsourcing. So yeah, you do very little work. Like, the job of the publisher is to find a profitable niche and keyword. That's it.
Yeah.
Everything else, you just pay somebody to do. So ACX has in-house narrators that you can use, for anywhere from, $30 to $40 to $50 per finished hour to read the book for you. Right. And they do that, and then you just hit publish, and now your book's an audiobook.
Got it.
That's it.
Yeah. It's a pretty simple process, I guess, when you break it all down and
totally
and have a team doing it eventually. Right. I mean, it makes the whole growth of the business a lot easier having a team. And where do you go about finding your team in the process of hiring them? Do you use any certain platforms for that?
You know, I met my manager through this guy I met online. We started talking, lo and behold, boom, you can train them. You can go to Upwork and find an assistant and train them. But, I usually advise people not to do that on their own. And it's twofold. One, it's like, I come from 15 years of sales training experience, so I know how to hire and train people. So we actually have a program where we train managers for publishers now. So basically they can pay to have somebody who's fully capable to run their publishing business alongside of them now. When we have the managers available, they come in waves, right? Because it takes a while to train them. But they can also do it themselves. You just got to be willing to understand that, well, if you've never trained somebody before, it's probably going to take 4 or 5 people until you finally get one that's right. Mm-hmm. And it's going to cost thousands of dollars. And they're probably going to screw up a lot of things for you. Because it's training people.
Yeah, they're people, right? Yeah, exactly.
They're people. And especially if you don't know how to train people before. but most publishers don't, like, when they're at that level, they're looking at things a bit differently and whatnot. So
no matter what, how much time and people it takes and money it takes to get there, would you say that it's worth building a team to run your business for you? Like, to get all through all that crazy stuff in order to have these long-term people doing things for you?
Yeah, man. Like, it's 100%. Like, I spend maybe about 5 hours a month on the publishing business, and it does anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 a month right now.
Awesome.
And that's from 5 hours of actual work. And the only work I do is meeting with Abdul.
So you're actually living the 5 hour work week.
the 5 hour work month.
Work I month, guess, yeah.
For the publishing business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? For the
publishing. And let's see how long that actually took to accomplish that. Because that's what people want right now.
Exactly.
That probably took like 15 months to get it to that level.
Right. There you go, guys. I hope everybody hears that. Like, it takes that 15 months. Like, it really takes
took 15 months to get myself to this point.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're not willing to put in that upfront work of a year and a half at minimum, to get there, and that doesn't mention, like you mentioned, you had 15 years of sales training.
Looking at that too.
Yeah.
How much did that actually help as well?
I mean, yeah.
Totally.
Any background in sales and marketing is going to help you, like, build a business, because that's what businesses are all about.
Now, like, I'd say we've changed the publishing business. When I say we, I meant, me and a couple other creators. We've changed it so much that it wouldn't take people that long anymore, because there's so many more resources that we've made available for people. It'll really shorten the learning curve, but it'll probably still take them 12 months. Right. Like, so it's not too, still probably going to take them 12 months to get to the point where they have somebody who's capable of running their business and all that. And, you know, it comes down to the person's experience and, you know, brains as well. Right. But, yeah, sure. But it's possible. And it's 100%. If it takes 12, if it takes 24, it's worth it. Cause
yeah. I mean, yeah. I started my first business online in 2010, and that was leading up to that. I had some eBay sales, some garage sale flipping experience and stuff like that. And it took me a good 3 years to get that drop shipping business to the point where it was actually going to support at least one person full time. And then, you know, from there it started growing like way fast. It's like a snowball effect, you know, like you gotta spend your time learning and leading up to it. And then at some point, like, it'll start taking off just because you've put so much work into it. You have to build a foundation first. I kind of equate building a business to like building a skyscraper, like you have, or building a house or something, you know. You have to kind of like build a foundation and then put up the sidewall and all that stuff and put in the appliances and wire everything.
You got to do all the boring stuff first, all the stuff that nobody's going to see. That's not sexy.
Yeah.
You do all that first.
Exactly. And there's a lot in the nitty gritty. And so you guys are listening out there, just be prepared. But if you really want this lifestyle, you know, like Emeka's enjoying the lifestyle now of being able to do whatever he wants and travel around, spend time with his wife, spend time with his family. And I think that's really key here, is that like you can achieve that if you are willing to put in the work and not just work, but learning and action taking and building and be willing to fail along the way in order to find success. You can do it. It's all possible.
100%. 100%.
Awesome. Mecca, thank you so much for providing so much value here. People, no matter what stage that they're at, I'm sure they got value out of this podcast. And for people that want to take your training and, you know, watch your videos and stuff, where can they find you?
So my YouTube channel, you can just type in like, basically type in kind of publishing, look for the black guy, you know, type in Emeka Osai, you know, I'm all over, you know, YouTube. That's the easiest thing. Or my self-publishing blueprint.com is my entry level courses.
Yeah. Awesome. Program. You guys, when you go to that myselfpublishingblueprint.com, read it and stuff like that, and then scroll up to the top, and you'll see a pop-up that pops up, and he's got a free guide. So make sure you opt in to get that. I just signed up for that, so I'll be reading through that and stuff like that. And thanks so much for being on the podcast, Emeka, and looking forward to hearing more about your awesome success in the future.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Trevor. Appreciate it.
Cool.